A little series of three messages began last week, and we started talking last week about purity. And I believe that purity is the prerequisite to the other two building blocks. Today, building block of prayer. Next week, building block of praise. Three little additives that will produce power in your life. And if you want to walk in the power of God, then we're going to have to get the building blocks back out again. Go with me to Matthew chapter 21 and look at verse 13. Many of us know this scripture. Jesus was cleansing the temple. And he said this in verse 13. And he said to them, "It is written, my house shall be called what?" Say it one more time. What? "My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves." He said, "My house shall be called a house of prayer." May I submit to you this morning that we are the house of God. You and I are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So this building isn't the house of prayer. A location geographically isn't the house of prayer. You and I are the house of prayer. And he said, "My house shall be called a house of prayer." Now, I believe there are at least four powerful prayer types that are in your spirit this morning. The Holy Ghost put them in there. And he's called me this morning to get them out of you. To put my finger on it. To reveal what he's deposited in you. Because these prayers have to be prayed in this generation. We've got to cry out like we've never cried out before. This is not a time to get passive, get weak, or get tired. This is a moment when we are under siege as a nation, as a people, as a location, and as a region. And if God's people will humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways. The Bible said we're going to hear from heaven. How many want to hear from heaven? Amen? Look at somebody and say, "I want to hear from heaven." Isaiah 56 and verse 7 says this, "My house shall be called a house of prayer." This is the scripture that Jesus quoted from in Matthew 21. But he also said in verse 8, or the last part of that verse, he said, "It shall be for all nations." In other words, it's a house of prayer, not for yourself. This, you have become a house of prayer for the nations. You and I have a higher call than just what we need in our life. Just what our children need. God's called us to the nations, to the ethnos, to every person living on the planet. We are a house of prayer on their behalf. And I believe these types of prayer that we're going to discuss this morning in the next few minutes are going to literally change your prayer life. Because James chapter 5 and verse 13 talks about the availing prayer. James chapter 5 and verse 13 says that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Everybody says availeth much. Availeth much. It means this. It means to make supernatural power available. In other words, until you and I, as the righteous on the earth, begin to pray the way God's called us to pray, that mighty power, that supernatural power, is not going to be made available. Can I say this? We are like generators. We are like generators waiting to be revved up. Waiting to be turned on. And when you and I begin to turn over in prayer, we produce something. We create something. We begin to release a power on the earth that otherwise will not be seen. That's why I'm excited this morning that if you and I will begin to tap into these glorious prayers that I'm about to share with you, we will produce power where there was weakness. We will produce abundance where there was lack. We will produce healing where there was sickness. Come on, somebody. I don't know about you, but that's exciting to me. I want to engage myself in prayer so I know that lives can be changed and lives can be moved. The availing prayer releases signs and wonders. And availing prayer provokes the natural. You see, when people pray the availing prayer, it provokes natural things. So whatever naturally is opposing you, whatever naturally is trying to seduce you, whatever naturally is harassing you today, this availing prayer will provoke that natural thing. Mark said it this way, chapter 11, verses 23 and 24. He said, I surely say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Church, there's a belief in your belly. There's a well of faith in your belly that we've got to dig down into this belly region and start the flow again. We've got to get back to what our forefathers birthed. You and I are here this morning because there were some people who knew how to avail in prayer. Some people who cried out day and night, who said, oh God, raise up a church in Lorain, Ohio. Oh God, send forth the word across the nations. And they would tarry at the altars. They would gather in small little prayer groups. And they would pray for hours together. And you and I are as a result of their intercession. We are as a result of their prayer. Oh, we've got to dust it off and get back to the simple, old-fashioned way of praying. I watch my children, my grandchildren, play with building blocks at our house. We have wooden blocks, similarly to what you see on the screen. And they'll play with those things for hours. They'll build big towers. They'll build bridges. And then the other one, okay, comes over and knocks it over. But they start all over again. And it's amazing to me, with all the technology, with all the video games available, with all the modern toys and games that they could play with, they fight over the box of building blocks. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, you need to return to the simplicity of what it takes to get your imagination to be created and released on the earth. And go back to the original. 2 Kings. I want you to think about this with me. 2 Kings 16 and verse 14. King Ahaz was under siege. King Ahaz cried out to the king of Assyria for help. And he went to that location called Damascus. And when he got there, he saw something in their town. He saw an altar. Now listen to me. He saw an altar that they used to worship their false god. King Ahaz decided that he wanted an altar like that. Now, you can read the scripture later. I don't have time to get into it. But he wanted an altar just like the king in Damascus had that altar. And so he called back to his priest. And he said, I want you to build me an altar that looks just like this one that I'm seeing here in Damascus. It is new. It is shiny. It is awesome. It's the latest technology. And so his priest built it even before he returned. You read the story. When he got home, he said, this now is the altar upon which we will sacrifice to our God. We will use this altar. Now you take the old altar and push it aside. Because from now on, we're going to start worshiping from this altar. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, somewhere along the line in this generation, somebody went to another place and got another way of worshiping and praying. Another place where they said that we're going to build an altar that didn't come from God's handwriting, but came from the modern script of this generation. And now we come to church and we don't even know what the old altar is all about anymore. We pushed it aside and we built a soft, comfortable, shiny, politically correct altar, and there is no power as a result. Somebody shout hallelujah. Look at somebody and give them a high five and say, we need the old altar again. You say, why are you making me give somebody a high five? Why are you telling me that I have to give them a high five? Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. Put yourself in agreement. We've got to forsake this new thing. Let me tell you, new altars and new carts don't work. The first of four prayers, let me hurry through these, is what I call the Hannah prayer. The Hannah prayer is utilized when an individual has a vision but it's been stopped up. You have an idea. You have a calling from God, but you can't get it out. It can't come to pass. It just won't work. And so the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 12 to 15, that Hannah knew how to pray when something inside just won't come out. When you've got a vision and it won't come to pass, when you know God's told you to do something, but every time you try, it seems to fail. Everybody begins to ridicule you and begins to diminish the power of God that you believe is going to be witnessed. And suddenly you find yourself in a place where you're going to have to make a decision to start praying the Hannah prayer. And the Bible says in that particular scripture, she began to pray out of her heart, and her lips began to murmur, but without sound over her vocal cords. She was praying a groaning prayer, Romans 8, 26. Holy Ghost got a hold of her, and up inside she had to let it out. And she began to pray. As a matter of fact, her husband or the priest, one of them, I forget who it was, he said this, "Man, are you drunk, woman? What's the matter? You've been drinking? You look like you're drunk." She said, "No, I haven't had anything to drink. I'm just pouring out my soul to God." Therein lies the key to the Hannah prayer. Getting in the presence of the Lord and pouring out your soul. In other words, you take your mind, all of the objections of your intellect. You take your thinking, all the reasons and circumstantial evidence that's been presented to you, and you pour it out on the altar of God's Word. And you say, "Father, I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what I've been feeling. I know that you're God and I'm not. And I know that if you said it, it's going to happen." She poured out her mind. I'm sorry about getting excited this morning, but I believe if we'll just return to the old-fashioned altar, we'll see some things birth in this house again. Woo. She had to pour out her emotions. You know, today there's been a big resistance. Well, you don't have to be emotional when it comes to God. Let me ask a question, sir. Ma'am, let me ask a question. You're talking about the guy? The guy that created heaven and earth? Now, see, that's your problem. You've reduced him from a sovereign God to a peer. You think God's your buddy. Let me tell you, He still sits on the throne. He alone is the one that allows the worlds to be encompassed as they are. He's the one that spun the planets and set the stars in their place, and they have not yet moved. I'm telling you today, we've got to begin to understand that it's all right to come into the presence of a living God. And when God comes into your house, you're not going to sit there smoking your cigar, sitting back drinking your little Budweiser. You're going to have to understand that when God moves in to the house of God, He will come upon your soul. He will come upon your emotions, and you will fall fat-faced on the ground and recognize that God is in this room. Oh God, give us another hunger for your mighty presence, that when you move into a region, she poured out her emotions and she poured out her will. It was like Jesus who sweat drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. "Not my will. Not my will, but thine be done." He was saying, "Not my way, not my ideas." Don't we all have ways? Don't we all have ideas? It's all right to have a vision, but my friend, listen, it's not your vision anyway. It's God's vision. So let God's vision be birthed. Pour out your will and say, "God, every way you want to do it, it doesn't matter to me. Just go ahead and do it. Any place you want to reveal yourself, go ahead and do it, God. That you be glorified. That you receive all honor. That you receive all thanks. That you receive all recognition." We've hungered for the praise of men more than we have the applause of heaven. I like what Exodus 23 and 26 says. When you tap into the Hannah prayer, it says that there will be no one. Everybody say, "No one." That means nobody. Huh? That means nobody. No one shall be barren. No one shall miscarriage. Then he goes on in Deuteronomy 7 and 14. Watch this. No male or female shall be barren. I didn't know that men could be barren. Oh yeah, they can be barren without a vision, without a future, and without a hope, because our eyes are set on things too low. But lift up your eyes, for your redemption draweth nigh. If we'll look to the hills, from whence cometh our help? God Himself is revealing His power and His glory to men and women on the earth today. And He said, I don't know that thing that God put in you. He said, I'm not going to allow it to be miscarried. I'm not going to allow it to become barren. You're going to not only carry that vision, but you are going to deliver that vision. And when the devil has come to you to try to stop up your vision, you need to get a hold of Hannah's prayer and begin to cry out to God, pour out your soul on the altar of the Lord and say, Father, if you did it for Sarah, if you did it for Sarah, if you did it for Rebecca, come on somebody, if you did it for Samson's mama, come on, if you did it for Elizabeth, then I know you can do it for me. Because every one of them, their bellies had become stopped up until they poured out their soul to God. And when they poured out their soul to God, they gave forth a delivery of the vision of God. Church, you're pregnant with the seed. If you've been born again, there is a seed of righteousness in you. And that seed was not intended to lie dormant. Number two, I like to call this the Hezekiah prayer. The Hezekiah prayer is unlike the Hannah prayer. Hannah prayer is for trying to birth some kind of a vision that God's put in your belly. But the Hezekiah prayer is when you receive a bad report. Hezekiah was a king of Israel. The prophet Isaiah came to him and said, hey king, guess what? Get your house ready. You're about to die. You're going to die. And Hezekiah said, I don't know about that. I'm not sure I want to receive that. I'm not sure I want to receive that report. See, sometimes we have more confidence, help me now, in what the doctor said than we do in what God said. Well, my doctor said, look, honey, I don't care what your doctor said. I know what God said. And I know that when you're up against the wall, come on somebody, ask them, are you up against the wall? Are you up against the wall? That's all right, because that's what Hezekiah did. He turned and put his face up against the wall. Two things happened. Number one, he faced his problem. Number two, he focused on his future. Let me tell you something. When lack calls you up, when sickness dials your number, when lack tries to ring your telephone, just push play. Look at somebody and say, push play. Tell them again, say, push play. Play what? Must be a phone call from heaven.
You've reached the voice mailbox of an on-fire believer. If you are calling in order to leave a bad report, or if you are sickness or disease, please listen to the following. According to 1 Peter 2:24, I have already been healed by His stripes. Therefore, don't bother. If you are calling to harass, plague, or deter me, the Bible says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up against me shall be condemned. If you are debt or lack, please listen to the following. And my God shall supply all my need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Oh, and just so you know, you can call, but I am not going to answer. Have a nice day.
Have a nice day. Come on, somebody. He can call, but I'm not going to answer. Just push play. Stop answering the phone. Hezekiah refused, and he went to God. And he said, God, you know what I've done all my life. You know how I've lived a pure life before you. You know how resolute I've been on your behalf. Oh, God. And he took Isaiah chapter 26 and he said, come now, let's reason one with another. Put me in remembrance of my word. And Isaiah began to put him in remembrance. And he said, God, you said in your Bible, Lord, you said in your word, I just got to face this situation. I've got to focus on the promise. And suddenly, God sent the devil a pink slip. Because the Bible said, hey, Isaiah, go back. What do you mean go back? Go back to Hezekiah's house. What do you want me to do, Lord? Well, I've changed my mind. In other words, cancel the order. Cancel the order. The devil may have ordered some lack for you this year. Maybe the devil has ordered some sickness and weakness and disease. Maybe the devil has ordered some other kind of crisis to steal away your joy. Somebody say, cancel the order. Hallelujah. How do we do that? You've got to push play. The Hannah prayer, the Hezekiah prayer. Number three, Elijah's prayer. Now, Hannah's prayer was designed to release those things that you need to give birth to. Hezekiah's prayer was designed how to respond when you receive a bad report. But number three, Elijah's prayer is dealing with strongholds that just won't budge. Anybody have any strongholds that aren't moving? Have you ever had something that's just hanging out and hanging on? Well, this is the prayer for you. Because it tells us in 1 Kings chapter 18, 36 and 37. It was a mighty, mighty declaration. It came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, God of Isaac and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel and I'm your servant, that I have done all these things at your word. In other words, he said, let's get all the prophets of Baal together. Let's meet up on Mount Carmel. Let's just make a decision on whose God is God and whose God is not. I just want you for one time and one time only to make a decision. But you know what this text tells us? The people answered him not a word, because they were uncommitted as to who God was in their life. So Elijah said, that's all right. I believe that this stronghold of Baal has to be broken. And if it's only me that does it. Elijah said this, I'm the only prophet left, but it doesn't matter to me. They can have 5,000, but the one that I'm with is more and greater than those that are with them. And so he told the prophets of Baal, go ahead, get your sacrifice out. And whichever God answers by fire first, he be God. And so they began to pray and cry out, the prophets of Baal, and there was no answer from heaven. So they got more intense. They began to dance around, strut around, nothing. Pretty soon Elijah come in there and started making fun of them. Where's your God? Is he on vacation? Come on, if he's God, let him answer with fire. The anointing came on him and he stood toe to toe. It was a battle of the titans. It was the God of this world and the God of heaven and earth in a standoff, in a championship fight of the ages. And there God was about to show himself as the champion of all champions. They began to cut themselves. Hey, Baal, can't you see? We're cutting ourselves. We're bleeding down here. But that God has no mouth to answer, has no ears to hear, has no mind to declare or dictate. And finally, Elijah said, go get me some water. Pour it on the altar. Put some more water on the altar. Do it a third time. Because I'm going to prove to you that the God that I serve isn't required to have dry kindling to make a fire. You better hear that. Because God's speaking to somebody. You think that everything has to be lined up in a row. You think that if God can't move in your life unless everything is right. Let me tell you something. Everything was wrong in this situation. That wood was wet. Look at somebody and say it was wet wood. Just like some Christians in the house of God. Wet wood. But that's all right. Doesn't matter to me how wet you are. Because the God of Elijah was able to fall down. And he was able to ignite that altar with the fire from heaven. And God is about to ignite you with the fire from heaven. I can hardly wait to swatch some of you. I've been watching you swagger in from the parking lot for a lot of years now. As I stand at the door and watch you make your gate and move to the house of God. But you know what? When the fire falls, you're going to be coming to the church of God a whole lot different than you ever came before. You're going to be running and jumping and shouting and skipping and saying, I believe God is about to move in this house. Hey, good morning, Pastor. Happy Sunday. I believe that God is able to tear down every stronghold. It's the prayer of Elijah. You know why? Because in verse 21 of 1 Kings 18, he confronted the stronghold. Quit running from your problem. Confront the stronghold. Devil, I just want you to know in the name of Jesus that this thing that you have been trying to put on me or my family is illegal. It crosses the covenant bloodline of Jesus Christ in my life. Therefore, I decree and declare, according to Job 22 and 28, that anything that comes out of my mouth, it shall be established and it shall come to pass. The blood of Jesus Christ is against you. I'm going to confront you. Quit looking to the psychologist. Quit looking to some self-help book. Quit looking to the next seminar or crusade. My God, take your stand. Be like Elijah and say, put some water on the wood. It doesn't matter to me because I know my God is a God of fire that comes from heaven. His burning is not of this world. It comes from another world. And that other world's about to invade my world. Oh, that's a good place to lift your hand and say, praise the Lord. Secondly, he challenged the stronghold, verses 27 to 29. And then third, he consumed the stronghold. There's people in this room right now that are about to consume the thing that has been trying to consume you. That's where we're going. That's where we're headed as a kingdom. As a kingdom people, we're about to consume some stuff. I know it's been a long time. I know that you've been fighting a good fight. I know that some of you are weary and about to give up. I know that your heart has been broken. I know that emotionally you're spent. But listen to me, please. There's some fire that's about to be sent from heaven that is going to burn up every stronghold and dissolve every obstacle that has been holding you back from a kingdom lifestyle. I'm telling you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is about to be released and revealed in this region. You better mark it down because you're going to see a great wind of revival that's going to sweep across this place. People are going to be born again at Wendy's. People are going to be born again at Loop Stop. People are going to be filled with the Holy Ghost over at Kmart. People are going to be filled with the power of God and healed when they're on the job, not just in the house of God. Somebody put your hands together, give God praise, because it's the prayer of Elijah. Thank you, Lord. And then finally, prayer number four. Are you ready? I don't know if you can handle the fourth one, but I'll do it anyway. The fourth prayer is powerful because it's when things are dying or they've already died. Maybe it's decaying. Maybe it's weakening. Maybe it's beginning to fall apart. This prayer is for you. Unlike the stronghold prayer. Unlike those bad reports prayers. Unlike the vision that has been stopped up prayer, this prayer is directed toward those things that have already died. You've already gone home from the funeral. It's already been planted 6 feet under. All hope is lost. All help is gone. All future has been mired. This is the prayer for those that have become so desperate that if God doesn't resurrect it from the dead, there is no hope of tomorrow. I'm talking about a people that just aren't having a bad day. They're not having a day at all. They're barely breathing. They're the people that are wondering, where is God in their life? This is called the Jesus Prayer. The Holy Spirit will provide the guidance to your prayer. It'll become like a smart bomb aimed at the very central focus and point of how the devil's been controlling the situation. How he is slowly bringing a death to that marriage, a death to that ministry, a death to that child's life. Slowly, with calculation, strategy implemented from the bowels of hell. God, by His Holy Spirit, will be the smart weaponry that you need in order to launch an offensive. It's in Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. When you don't know how to pray as you ought, the Holy Ghost will come upon you and you will begin to pray with groanings that cannot be uttered. Everybody say groanings. Come on, groan for me. Just groan. Oh, groanings. It's a prayer that comes out of the well of the Holy Ghost. It's a prayer that comes down up underneath everything in your being. It's a prayer that unless you tap into it, there is no hope and there is no help. But it's the groaning prayer. It was Jesus who came to that place called Bethany in John chapter 11 and verse 41. And the scripture tells us that when he was told about his friend Lazarus that had died, the Bible said that he began to stand there and weep, but he also began to groan in his own belly. It was Jesus who said, this is a job for the Holy Spirit. This is a job for the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is no small thing. We're talking about a man that already stinks. We're talking about a situation that is too gone, too far, too long. There's no hope and there's no way of resurrecting it. So Jesus began to groan in his own belly. I believe his groaning was that of Romans 8:26, where the Holy Ghost began to help him pray when he didn't even know how to pray in his human mind. But the Son of God was so empowered by the power of the Holy Ghost as the Father began to couple with the Son and couple with the Spirit that they came together in Lazarus, and he began to pray and he said, Father, I pray this prayer, not because I don't believe you hear me. I know you hear me, but I pray this prayer for every other person that's living, that's hearing my voice, that they know that you're the God in heaven. Now, church, let me help you with something, please. He wasn't groaning and praying so you and I would believe that he was the Son of God. We already know that. We already know that if you can bring a man out of death into life, you must be something, and I must be a God. So I believe that. But I believe Jesus was demonstrating for us the kind of prayer that has to come up out of your belly at times when you don't know what else to say, when you don't know what else to do, you don't know who else to call. Have you ever been in that place when all you can do is go, oh God. It's those moments where the midnight hour is long past, the darkest of darks, the loneliest of all loneliness. It's the moment when you only stand by yourself and no one else is around. And you begin to cry out and say, God, but be the Jesus prayer welling up in my belly. This thing will take my loved one. This thing will take my marriage. This thing will take my ministry. But God, it might be behind the stone. It might be encased in a tomb. But I believe that even the natural order of things have caused this thing to crumble and fall apart. There is a groaning that comes from heaven. Church, we've got to get back to the old-fashioned altar, the place where we'll cry out and say, God, you can birth it. No one else can, but you can birth it. I pour out my soul upon this altar. We need to forsake the new altars of postmodern Christendom. We need to forsake the new altars of our present move, if you want to call it, of God, where everybody's politically correct, where we're making everybody happy, where you get two cups of coffee and a donut for free, and you get out in 30 minutes because nobody wants to hear a Holy Ghost message. All they want is another sermonette with 3 points and a poem because we're nothing but Christianettes. But God is raising up a remnant on the earth who says, listen, like Hannah, I've got to birth the power of the vision of God in this generation. Like Hezekiah, when I got a bad report, I will refuse to take that report. I refuse. When somebody calls me and they say, hey, I want you to know so-and-so's got this sickness, something inside of me and said, devil, you're a liar. I stand in faith now. I refuse to take that call. You're not sick, you're not dying, and you're not being destroyed, because God is one that comes to give life and to give it more abundantly. Come on, lift your hands and thank him for life. Come on, thank him for abundant life. Come on, thank him for a future. Thank him for a hope that God is your God and he is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could think or ask. Jesus said, the devil has come to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come to give it life. And more abundantly, I've come to give Zoe. Zoe to you. Zoe on you. Zoya. Zoya. Zoe. I speak Zoe over every marriage. I speak Zoe over every sickness and disease. I speak Zoe over things that are dying and crumbling. I speak Zoe. It is the life of God that came from heaven to earth. Jesus said, the devil's come to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come to give you life. I've come to give you life. Listen, if you name the name of God, you better hold on to life. Hold on to Zoe. It's your covenant right. Refuse to be refused. Deny to be denied. Come on, church, get back to the old horns of the altar. The old-fashioned altar. The blood-stained altar. The place where the fire fell. Come on, forsake this new altar of convenience and lack of conviction. Come on, forsake this new altar where we are timid and we are carnal. Forsake this old new altar that has taken the place because of all of its bells and all of its whistles, and we have all the latest and greatest. Somebody go get the old altar out again. Somebody bring it back to Israel. Somebody bring it back to the church and let it take the place of this thing that is pushed aside. Holy Ghost travailing prayer when you're in need, when you're sick, and when you're bound and you're about to give vision. The birthing of its life. Jesus said this, Lazarus, come forth. And I don't know what happened in that tomb. All I know is this, that the stone was removed. The stone of unbelief. The stone of resistance. The stone of tradition. The stone of selfishness. The stone of consumption on ourselves was removed. And when it was removed, God was able to be God. And he spoke to that thing that had already died. And he said, I want you to come forth, Lazarus, and I want you to come back to Zoe. It might have died with natural life. It might have died with a simple and lacking life. But when God calls it back to life, it doesn't come back in weakness. It doesn't come back in sickness. It doesn't come back in disease. It doesn't come back in lack. It comes back in power. Hallelujah. This Jesus prayer challenges the spirit of death and the grave. This Jesus prayer will make you like Superman and Catwoman. It'll make you a marvel and a wonder, right out of the comic strips, and save a generation. It will alter your thinking and redesign your DNA. It's really what we long for, isn't it? It's really what we hunger for. That's why we flock to the latest movie of Indiana Jones, because we believe that he can do anything. That's my man. I'm sitting next to, and I'm in the house of God with Spider-Mans and Supermans and Superwomans. And I'm sitting in a place here this morning that is filled with the power of God, and you can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens you. House of prayer for all people. A liberation for a generation. I started out this morning with the prayer of Jesus when he said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. But I didn't read the verse that preceded that statement. That verse that precedes the statement, ladies and gentlemen, is a description of what Jesus did when he got to his house and found it in its condition. Oh, yes, he did. He walked in there and he looked around and saw tables, money changers, and he turned over the tables and drove them out. And then said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. In Jesus' name, I drive that spirit that's clung to you, that spirit of this world that makes money your God and God second class in your life. I come against that spirit of this world, of materialism, self-pleasure, and I bind it at its root. I cast it out into a dry place and I say, never return again. That God's house will be called a house of prayer, who will begin to lift up their voices like Hannah, turn their face to a wall like Hezekiah, call down fire like Elijah, and call things that have died back to life like Jesus Christ Himself. That's the kind of church that Jesus Christ is coming back for. That's the kingdom of God that is going to be revealed and on this earth in this last hour. Lift your hands with me now and declare, Father, I desire to be your house of prayer. Move in me. Holy Spirit, groan through me in Jesus' name. Every head bowed, let me ask this question. You say, Preacher, can it really be true, preacher? Is it really possible that we can live like that? I don't know, but I feel something in my spirit that's saying, amen. I put myself in agreement with that now, preacher. If that's you, ladies and gentlemen, just tell God, I put myself in agreement with you, Jesus. Lift your hand up and just tell Him. Just tell Him right where you're sitting. God, I put myself in agreement with you. Give me a burden to pray. Give me a burden to cry out. Give me a burden to speak. Give me a burden, oh God, to declare. Give me a burden, Father. Give me a burden to bring things that are dead back to life. God, give me a burden. God, give it to me. Give it to me. Give it to me. Without it, God, I cannot live and I cannot exist. Jesus' name. All over this auditorium, you're here this morning. If you were to die today, you don't know whether you'd go to heaven or hell. Maybe you're a backslider. Maybe you're just lukewarm as your faith. You're riding the fence. Most Christians pray less than 10 minutes a week. Most Christians don't even read their Bible every day. Do you hear me? My house shall be called the house of prayer. And yet, His house has become weak. His house has become filled with the money-changing mentality of this age. Come on, church. You say, I've been backslidden. I've been away from God. I want to fire it up this morning. God, let the fire burn on my altar of commitment to you. That's you. You make that commitment right where you are. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to come forward. God sees your heart. God sees your hand. God sees your life. Talk to Him. Lastly, if you're here today and you're not even knowing whether you're born again, you've never been born again, but you'd like to know Christ as your Savior. Church, this is an opportunity for you to pray. And for those of you that want to receive Christ, this is your opportunity to have eternal life. If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I want that prayer. I'd like eternal life. I want to receive Christ as my Savior. I want to ask Him to forgive me my sins. If that's you, I want you to lift your hand up and hold it there high enough so I can see it all over this room. Thank you so much. God bless you. Altar ministers, would you join me across the front of this great hall? Everybody, please stand to your feet. No looking around. Please do not leave unless you have an emergency. I want you to just stand on your feet and begin to pray silently there underneath your breath, because we are going to birth people into the kingdom of God. You're going to pour out your soul right now, because there's no greater birthing than to birth a man out of darkness into His marvelous light. Do you hear what I'm saying? This is our first opportunity to pray the Hannah prayer. Come on, birth it, birth it, birth it. Birth it in prayer right now. Birth it in prayer right now. Praying for that person around you. Maybe you don't even know them. You don't know if they're born again. But come on, pray. Pour your soul out on the altar of God's Word. And let's believe God this morning that they're going to be born again. Now listen, ladies and gentlemen, if you raise your hand, people are praying all over this room for you, because you are valuable. And if there was only one soul on the face of the earth, Christ would have died for you. He did die for you personally, shed His life blood that you might have eternal life and that you might come into covenant with Christ. If that's you this morning and you say, I need that prayer, Pastor, or maybe you're backslidden and you need to recommit to Christ, please, 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 I want you to get out from where you're standing, make that journey down that aisle, join one of these men and women of God, and come into prayer. Would you do it right now? Come. Come on, come right now. Do it right now. Church, turn to somebody and say, listen, I've been praying. If you need that prayer, I'll go with you. I'll go with you if you need that prayer. Take them by the hand and just bring them forward to this altar. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Take the hand of a person next to you across the aisle, please. Let's become one body. Father, we thank you this morning that we can pray one for another. We thank you this morning, God, that your word is great. Your word is powerful. You are an awesome God. And this morning, Lord, I pray for the person on the right and I pray for the person on the left. I may not even know them, Lord, but I know that you know them. You know them intimately from their mother's womb, God. You designed and created them and wrote a book, Father God, that their life might fulfill it. Today, Father God, their destiny is in the hands of the Holy Spirit. And I bless them today that they would fulfill their destiny in all their ways, God. Father God, just bless them today. Empower them. Let them, oh God, begin to be the people that would bring out the old altar again and begin to cry out on behalf of a generation that has been misled, that is dying, that is simply going to hell. In Jesus' name, we ask, Father, and we pray this prayer. And all God's people said, amen.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, on your way out this morning, let me say this. We tried to raise some money for the work day around here. We've got a lot of projects that have to be paid for. It's not in the budget. Our income weekly basically pays for our expenses. That's all. There's no extra money. And so without your offerings, we can't repair buildings. There's a lot of repair work. We need about $3,000 more. We've raised four. Thank you for that. But we need three more. If you feel so led to give, please do so. You can maybe give it to an usher on the way out or however the Lord would lead you. But you have a wonderful holiday weekend. Be safe. But live right. Love everybody. Pray hard. We'll see you next time right here at Church on the North Coast. God bless you. We love you.